Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and I'm sure you haven't heard, so I've got some breaking news. You probably haven't gotten all the details yet, but did you know that tomorrow, Monday, April 8th, there's going to be a total eclipse? It's all over the news. Everybody's going crazy. Hotel rooms are full. People are traveling thousands and thousands of miles to get in the path of this full solar eclipse. I guess it's somewhat of a science experiment, an experience. I don't know. I don't get it, but we're going to talk about it today, but from a little bit of a different perspective. I'm so excited to have with us today Connecticut ophthalmologist Dr. Jeff Delarusso. And Dr. Russo, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here to chat about this.
Well, you know, it's funny because your profession right now has been elevated because there's a big component to this thing. It's not only what kids can learn from it and people will never see again, but there's also something that we have to pay close attention to. And that is if we can't get our hands on, which people are having a hard time getting our hands on those little 3D glasses, we really shouldn't be looking at this thing. So from an ophthalmologist standpoint, what are your thoughts right now as this thing gets closer and it's just a day away?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important that people take adequate protections. You were saying it's a total eclipse. So millions of people are expecting to witness this event. They'll be coming far and wide. There's all sorts of traffic concerns. The real issue besides those inconveniences is making sure that your eyes are protected, because there's only a brief moment of a total eclipse where you can actually look safely, and people can't count on that. It's hard for them to judge whether the moment's okay or not. During the total eclipse, sure, you can have a peek. But for the whatever, you know, hour and 28 minutes worth of eclipse that we're going to see, it's critically important that people be wearing eclipse glasses, you know, certified by, you know, international safety standards.
Oh, come glasses. On. Who has those? I mean, for one eclipse... For one eclipse, though, every 20 years, people actually buy those?
Actually, the glasses are good almost for a lifetime.
No, the glasses...
Yeah, they're hardly available.
I know they're available, but I'm saying, who's going to purchase that to only see one eclipse every 20 years?
Well, if you hang on to them till 2079, you can use them again.
Well, God willing, I guess. I probably won't.
It's the beauty of Amazon and Target.
Yes.
You can get a pair for $5, $6,
$7.
Just got to make sure you get it now.
Okay, yeah. No, I think it's probably too late. But anyway, so that's a really good point. So you can't tell when the total eclipse is. And this thing, if you don't know already, is expected to be about 4 minutes and 27 seconds, the whole process, right? So that's, you know, that's a long time. And
It is.
And so what about if you're looking through a telescope or another kind of, you know, tool?
Even worse.
Even
worse, because that can amplify the rays, you know. So there's nothing safe about that. Looking through your phone, I know it doesn't make sense, but somehow look at your phone's camera and filter will not protect you. Any of these devices, a binocular, a telescope, unless they are fitted with specially equipped eclipse, blocking lenses,
right,
which of course nobody has, mm-hmm, right? Maybe one in a million. You need to be wearing, you know, true, authentic, ISO standard, you know, safety rated, simple glasses. It doesn't take anything crazy. It used to take a welder's glass to do this, but these are widely available. And I think there is plenty of time to still order these.
Okay.
Or just go anywhere. Go to a Target.
Yeah,
go
pick them up. I misunderstood. I thought it was like a major investment, some big tool. But we're talking about something made out of
bucks.
Yeah, something made out of paper and some kind of little plastic,
yeah,
eyewear, right? So what could happen? Again, we're talking with Connecticut ophthalmologist Dr. Jeff Delarusso. And what could happen, though, if people do look at it? I mean, especially, you know, we got different age groups and we're probably talking about a lot of school-age children because of the curiosity that's been built.
Yeah, not to mention that it's going to be striking in a lot of areas in the Northeast when, like, dismissal time is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely an issue with kids. You know, you can have, you know, things ranging from minor irritation, slightly blurred vision, stingy eyes, you know, just from almost a sunburn, you can think about it, on the cornea, mm-hmm, which generally will heal without incident, to things that are far more serious and permanent and without corrections or without treatments, like burning of the retina. you know, and believe it or not, that burning can come in the shape of the eclipse, and doctors can look and see that.
Really?
An amazing case from that, from an, you know, a partial eclipse a couple years ago. But that's the case. You know, people are looking, it's not like they're taking a 1 second look at the sun and your pupils constrict. When people look at the sun, there's a reason that there's almost no zero incidence of people burning their eyes looking at the sun. Right. Because it's so intense and people have the reflex to squint, turn away, their pupils constrict massively. So it's letting, you know, your body has that ability to shrink the amount of light coming in to almost a pinpoint.
Right.
Protective. So that's why you almost never hear this thing. The crazy thing about an event like the eclipse, first of all, it you know, it plays out over quite a long period of time. Really, from beginning to end, it's almost 2.5 hours. Right. As the sun, as the passage of the moon goes in front. So we're talking about a long time where people are seeing overall less light. So that, you know, overall, there's much less light coming than during the normal daylight. So people are staring. They can tolerate looking. Obviously, there's elevated curiosity. You're going to sit there and look at this whole thing for minutes and minutes and, you know, long periods of time. And if you're doing so without protection, you're really opening up your eyes to a lot of damage because you have a dark background, your pupils are dilating, you're not having the normal protective reflex to squint, to look away, for your pupils to constrict. Mm-hmm. So your pupils are dilated during this, almost like at night. People know, you know, remember from high school biology, you know, the pupil acts kind of like a camera letting light in and out. It has an incredible ability to clamp down and really restrict the amount of damaging light rays that come out. That's the opposite. This is the absolute opposite of what happens during an eclipse. You have a dark background when the sun and the moon is blocking out. You're just seeing the aura or the partial aura of the sun. People's pupils are dilated, letting in all kinds of light that literally comes in, heats up, and burns the retina.
Wow.
Like an overexposed, it's almost like an overexposed film.
Right. You know, so probably the best advice for people is if you don't have the right protective eye gear, just, you know, stay inside because we're all going to be tempted to look up. Can we glance up for a second or we can't even do that?
I wouldn't tempt anyone to do that. I mean, no one's going to tie, unless you're right in the path of totality, you know what I'm saying? Which is coming, you know, you can look online and see the
where
band,
that
and
is,
how it's passing.
Right. I mean,
this time it was different. We had one 10 years ago or whatever, not even 10, you know, and it passed in like rural areas. This one's coming through major cities and metropolitan areas. So the exposure level for concentration of people is way higher.
Right. Absolutely.
So just assume that there's no safe time.
Okay.
Because no one's going to time it safely and play games with your vision as to when may or may not be safe.
All right.
People have to plan now. Don't wait. Go to the store, go to Wegman, you know, go anywhere.
And, even, right.
You know, Target and pick these up. Probably at a gas station. Yeah. Make sure they're authentic. There's a lot of fakes that have been out there. Make sure that the criteria matches what you can see online. We put something up on our website, delarusso.com, but go anywhere on the web and search, you know, eclipse glass safety.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Delarusso, and he's with Delarusso Laser Vision, and they have offices in both Westport, Connecticut, and New York City. So great advice on this eclipse. I think it's important if you're out there listening to, you know, go to the website, delarusso.com, where there's information there, and also go to the website ASAP. Hopefully you're a Prime member, order those glasses, and hopefully you get them in time. That's going to be a quick shipment, but we'll see. So let me ask you this too, Dr. Russo. So, you know, it's one of those things, eyes. You know, we always pay attention to the rest of our body, and this is just my personal opinion, but sometimes eyes are the last to get our attention, especially as kids. You know, I remember going to get your immunizations, going to the doctor, everything, but I think the only time I ever went to the eye doctor is when one came to school. Why is it that you think eyes, or is it just me, aren't a priority for people?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, pediatricians are supposed to coordinate this, have your first eye exam before the age of two. But I think it's just most ophthalmologists don't even see kids. So you have to seek, you know, a pediatric ophthalmologist or optometrist. And unless someone has a functional issue, and parents aren't going to look at you, unless somebody has a crossed eye or something that, of course, it stands out to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take care of it immediately. But if someone has decreased vision, or even more insidious, like decreased vision in one eye, and they're still functioning fine without a true eye exam. And, you know, school exams are okay, but it's notoriously difficult to examine kids. They don't participate well. So it's a whole art to doing a proper eye exam on a child. And it's really a specialty unto itself. So I agree with you. There is an unfortunate lag in the medical pipeline here with that. Hopefully pediatricians are getting people to their ophthalmologist before the age of two.
Yeah, well, that's a great recommendation, because that's when our kids are learning the most. Is that such a, you know, influential age, that that's a huge piece of it. Let's also talk about, you know, folks a little older and really how pioneering your field of work has come. And if you could just talk about, especially with LASIK surgery. It's so funny, you know, as I get older and I run into people and they used to have glasses, and then you see them the next time and they don't have glasses. You know, they usually say one thing, it's LASIK. It's kind of like somebody that's skinny now and you're like, what happened? And they say Ozempic, right? Yeah. But, so talk about you and your father and how you're really leading the charge when it comes to state-of-the-art LASIK eye surgery.
Yeah, I mean, we did the original FDA trial back for the pre-LASIK vision correction in the early 90s, and, you know, kind of have been leading the charge with that. And a lot of the attention is on the younger people, mm-hmm. it seems, you know. Those seem to be more interested, they're more active, I suppose you can say, embracing technology more. So, you know, obviously the prevalence of vision correction from people that are younger is quite high. But there really are, the way the technologies are now, and it's even more than LASIK. LASIK is a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. There are other sort of lens-based procedures that sound kind of far out, but they really are becoming more and more commonplace, that can solve issues of progressives, bifocals, even in some instances, just a simple eye, you know, glasses for reading, that there's half a treatment for nearly everybody if they're motivated to get out of their glasses and improve their freedom of motion and you know, activity and live with that type of lifestyle. We really have something for just about everybody.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm 63 years old, and I have never, thank you God, had a pair of glasses. I have never had to wear glasses. Wow. And I can't imagine walking around with something around my ears and hanging on my nose. I just can't. I mean, I wear my sunglasses, but, you know, they say, oh, just wait. I've been hearing that since I was 40. But, you know, my dad never wore glasses. My mother doesn't wear glasses. So I think a lot of that has to do with it. But one question that I had is, like, what's going on? Or give me an example of a client that you had with an issue that your procedures were able to rectify.
People with gigantic prescription glasses that are too heavy to wear, so they can't even get into an adequate correction. We had one kid, the young man that came from the Ukraine like 2-3 months ago, I remember this. He was almost a minus 12, minus 18, if that means anyone to any, that's like next level Coke bottles, double Coke bottles.
I don't mean to laugh.
But he had come from a part of the world mm-hmm. where there wasn't even adequate access to eye exams or to the types of quality of lenses that someone could even reasonably put on their face. So this guy was he was super tall as well, kind of hunched over, not seeing. And, you know, his cousin or somebody who was here in Queens, he had come over, a little bit of a refugee situation, I suppose, with the war. And, you know, we were able to set him up with a procedure that just brought him into the seeing world. I mean, I saw this guy last week. It was just incredible. I mean, this guy was barely functioning, because it becomes an overall, it affects people's quality. There's a lot of comorbidity and lack of quality of life that goes with not being able to see like that, especially on the extreme end of the spectrum with like super high prescriptions. It's really just like a professional disability or social disability. It's, you mm-hmm. know, it's a huge problem. I remember this was just incredible for this kid. This guy was just hunched over, couldn't see right. You know, he was in a makeshift pair of glasses and maybe made up about half of what he needed. Mm-hmm. And it was just astounding. So every once in a while, you get one of these cases where you're just like, wow. You know, that was one of the wow cases.
That is a wow case, yeah. A recent wow case. And thank you for doing that. I'm sure, you know, it's life changing for these people. You know, vision is such an important sense. And how far have we come? I mean, you've kind of like lived the legacy of this particular field of work, you know, living with your father and working with your father. How far have you seen things come?
From nowhere to everywhere. I mean, again, if that person can be included with the maximum amount of, you know, correctable blindness, so to speak, if you should say, I mean, we really have something for just about everybody, provided their eyes are overall healthy, you know, which most of these people still are, despite being so severely myopic, farsighted, heavy astigmatism. You know, most are still healthy, and there's a treatment for that, and there's a whole range of things, you know, ranging from the things that everyone knows, LASIK, to other things that you don't know about. So if anyone's suffering with any dysfunction like that, go out of your way to seek somebody that does this and dedicates their entire practice to this, because there are lots and lots of options and many that you've never heard of.
Right. Well, and that's one of the dangers, right? You really need to inform yourself, because like anything else, it's, I'll give you a good example. You know, those teeth in an hour. You know, my elderly father sitting there watching the TV, teeth in an hour. Well, he goes into teeth in an hour turned into teeth in 5 months that turned into $15,000. Okay. So yeah. I think I'm making my point. So how do you suggest that people do their due diligence when they're looking to improve their eyesight?
Sure. I mean, you can go to certain registries, like, you know, the American Society of Cataract and Refractive Surgeries. There's plenty of things online you can find. Just, you know, your typical type of Google research won't lead you to, you know, don't get caught up in the chat rooms and stuff, but won't, you know, lead you too far from seeing who the people that have the most experience in a given area are. And there's definitely competent people in every market, you know, major market, or just even the middle of anywhere, you know, Texas, and people are spread out. There are people within driving range for sure that are dedicated their practices to this and are living to the best standards, living up to those and practicing that well. It's not too hard to find people that can do this. And I think Google won't lead you wrong.
Okay. Well, you know, the other thing is read the reviews, right? Read the reviews of course, patients, the good and the bad. Now, there's always a few, I know, disgruntled somebody for some reason.
Always, that's the internet.
Right, but you can't get them off of there. But, you know, you got to take everything and then take it at heart and make your own educated decision. And again, we're talking about a lot of things, about eyes, about the eclipse with Dr. Jeffrey Della Russo, and he's with Della Russo LASIK out of Westport and New York. And the website, if you want more information or you want to kind of do your research, you can go to DellaRusso.com. That's D-E-L-L-O. RUSSO.com. So what does it, I'm assuming that you're at the office because it's a, there's a little bit of noise in the background, but what does a day in the life of Dr. Russo look like?
Well, you know, we're at this 6 days a week. Don't ask me why. We're pretty obsessed, and wasn't supposed to be working 6 days a week, but here we are, you know, and every day is filled. You know, we do, I do surgery every day. I'm in the office. I don't really have an administrative day or this or that. So, you know, we live for this, and we live and breathe this. So every day, we know we've got maybe between 10 and 15 or so consultations to people coming in looking for direction on their vision. Not always for LASIK, can be for cataract, can be for a lot of other conditions. And, you know, if it's not within our prime specialty, we certainly know who's who to send someone to the best person for whatever out, you know, other type of eye condition they may have. Always welcome to be a resource like that.
So community. Most of your surgeries are inpatient then? Most of your procedures are inpatient?
Oh yes. Yeah, it might sound like something that's in a hospital or something. No, this is all done ambulatory.
Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's been like that forever.
That's great. So it's pretty much non-invasive, and you know, you probably have to have somebody drive you home because you might have some things going on with your eyes following a surgery always, right?
But yes, bring a ride.
Right, bring a ride or get a ride or Uber, do what you got to do. Hey, before I let you go, there's been a lot of things in the news lately about eye drops. I know. So, you know, a lot of folks, you know, they got the redness, got the dryness. What about eye drops? Like I'll use, I won't name the product, but I use a product that whitens my eyeballs. Now, I only used to do it for special occasions, but now I find myself doing it every day. What do you think about those eye drops people are using?
Well, the whitening eye drops, they do work. You know, the versions that existed before weren't as good because they can create, they worked for a while and they created rebound redness. So that was kind of a spiral to nowhere. But, the, you know, the drops are on that. You know, I wouldn't use them every day, but you can use them on a special occasion, it's fine. And then as far as just, you know, even simple artificial, people have dry eyes. It's a common thing. 20% of all eye doctor visits are eye, dry eye related, just in general. You know, so this is a big thing. Lots of people suffer from it. Ladies a little bit more. But anyone can. You know, you can have an 18-year-old male with a dry. So it's a common thing. Obviously, you see in magazines and on TV, there's tons of pharmaceutical industry interest around that, and drops ranging from simple artificial tears. And we can get into what to stick to with that in terms of, you know.
Well, I just, you know, for the person who uses Visine on a regular basis, let's just use that as an example. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Look, more people get away with it than not. There aren't that many bad stories with that. But in theory, I mean, what they do is, you know, they're constricting blood vessels. You can only do so much that before you get a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say you get hooked on it, but a little bit, you know.
Well, they're saying, like, I know people that are addicted to ChapStick. You know, ChapStick's supposed to help your lips from being chapped, but, I mean, every 5 seconds they're putting ChapStick on because all of a sudden their lips have to have it, you know? So there's truth in that.
There is truth on that. Try not to become habituated to any type of thing,
whether
it's under the counter or over the counter.
Or behind the counter.
Or worse,
right? Well, this is a pleasure. So we've just got a couple of minutes left. So let's go back to our initial topic and let's kind of repeat and leave people with some good advice, as we've got the total eclipse coming up tomorrow afternoon, and that's going to be here east on the East Coast. They say between around 2:30 to around 3:30. So I don't know, you know, contact your local listings for the exact information on that. But as an ophthalmologist, you know, you really have raised your profile, as I said in the beginning, because people are looking to folks like you, the experts, about the impact. And really, I think our eyes are the only place where we could see some sort of a literally negative impact from this eclipse.
Sure. I mean, you can get a sunburn as well, but obviously most people will heal from that without too much of a problem. Don't forget your SPF. But yes, the eyes are the most exposed organ that we have in this. They have, you know, the critical area of the back of your eye, the retina, has no defense, you know. And when the eclipse is happening and the pupil is widely dilated because of the dark background and everyone's having a great time looking at a celestial event, your retina is exposed. It's not used to being dilated like that, you know, that type of widely opened aperture in the eye, and the eye is flooding in and it's defenseless. So
wear the right gear.
Just assume that there's no moment that you can look without it.
Did you just say, Dr. Russo, did you just say don't forget your SPF? We actually could get sunburned from this thing?
You could, of course.
Really?
Yeah, because even though there's overall less light, the light that is coming through is relatively more intense.
Wow, I didn't know that part of it. Now we'll have to talk to a you know, dermatologist or something. I don't know.
It's not me, but
no, it's not you. So again, if you want more information on what we talked about today, and we talked about a lot, I encourage you to go to delarusso.com. Again, it's Della Russo LASIK, based out of Westport, Connecticut and New York City. Well, Dr. Russo, I know you're a busy guy. I know now that you work 6 days a week, which is ridiculous.
It is.
But I do appreciate your time and giving some folks some great news they can use. I appreciate that.
I hope
that.
It's useful.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much. And thanks to all. Thank you. So be sure to be safe and enjoy that eclipse tomorrow. I'm Ann Baldwin, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.